Hello, everyone. Tracy here, your resident business rebel, and you're listening to Digital Business Your Way podcast, the show that lets true stories and insider secrets of online entrepreneur life unfold. Our business world is growing, and as an online business coach and digital product creator, I believe you didn't become an entrepreneur to grin and bear your way through business. So I'll be your guide as we drop in on coaching calls, have intimate sit-downs with online personalities you love, and discuss ideas, opportunities, and strategies circulating our online world. So pop in your earbuds, tap follow, and join me as I demystify this thing called business.
What went different this time? Things like that. Get curious, but non-judgmental. That's really when your brain starts to kick in and say, oh, we get to get curious about this. We get to have fun with this. We don't have to protect ourselves from telling ourselves that we did bad. We can just be curious. Your brain's going to hop on board real fast.
Hello, hello. And today we're talking about making data feel doable and maybe even a little bit empowering with Kelsey Silver, the NeuroSpicy CEO. Kelsey is a data strategist and operations wizard for 6- and 7-figure founders, and she's got a gift for helping people actually want to look at their numbers, not just because it's smart business, but because when you stop avoiding your data, you start unlocking some serious clarity and momentum. You know we love momentum, because this is not just another truck your metrics episode. Oh no, Kelsey and I go deep on the emotional side of data, why it can feel unsafe, how business trauma shows up in the ways we avoid decisions, and what to do instead. We talk about micro actions that make a big impact, how to stop drowning in spreadsheets, and why your metrics should feel like a support system, not a stress trigger. This conversation is especially for the folks who've said, I'm just not a numbers person, because guess what? You actually are. You just haven't been shown the right way to do numbers yet. So let's listen in. I'm really excited that we're having this talk today, Kelsey, because you and I, we bonded over, well, I mean, honestly, a couple of things, but, you know, because we both like to geek out over the numbers, but it was really more than just the data. It was a case of like how we feel that micro actions have this massive impact. But it was also the way that we look at things more from a trauma-informed way,
yeah.
Right? Exactly. Because it's not just like the what of the business, but it's how it feels, right? And it's how that it goes like in our brains and our bodies and in our bandwidth,
exactly.
You know? Yeah, because as somebody that works with like nervous system regulation, the part that really spoke to me was that overwhelm and shutdown, they're not personality traits, they're signals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you said something that like really hit me in the gut, that a lot of people aren't avoiding data because they're lazy. They're avoiding it because it feels unsafe.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wanted to kind of like start talking about that, because to me, these two things go together, because whenever we tack on micro actions, then that starts to breed in that safety, right? Okay. It starts to get our subconscious on our side. And it's kind of like, is that little baby step, toe in the water part of like, I can do this. This is possible. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and coming from a background in trauma-informed therapy, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and you know, long trail to get here to data analytics. But in reality, even in therapy, you take tiny action. You can't burn the whole thing down to build it from scratch, because then you really will be overwhelmed. The same thing applies to business, especially when you're feeling unsafe in looking at your analytics and looking at your numbers. It's, wait, let's choose one thing. It's micro actions, both in what you change, but also in how you start to measure. Some of the most successful coaches that I've worked with, outwardly, you would think, oh, they must be digging into their numbers like crazy. No, honey, they're going on gut and a shoestring at this point, because they're so petrified of looking at those numbers and realizing that their business isn't the business they think they have, mm-hmm. that they could be doing so much more, but that feeling of being unsafe in their data keeps them from actually maximizing what they're able to do.
So a lot of times when I'm thinking about micro actions, I'm thinking about the small thing to change and the small thing to do. But you added a third one there when you were talking about that small number part, that data part. Can you tell us more about like, what does that mean? What does that look like? Yeah. Is that like looking at just one thing at a time, like prioritizing it? Or what feels less scary, or, you know, like, or maybe like what we're a little bit more proud of. So we'll at least be honest about that one before we are. But I mean, what is that? Am I just completely wrong? Like, what does that mean?
Option D, all of the above. So in reality, as entrepreneurs, it's one of the biggest moments of self-growth and self-awareness that you're ever going to have, right? Like, you know, as an entrepreneur, when you first start your business, you have to do so much introspection and you have to really understand what kind of person you are, what kind of leader you are, what kind of learner you are. The same goes for what kind of data person you are. Are you the burnt out, gifted, and talented kid that wants desperately to know all of your numbers, but can't bear to see red because that brings you right back to when all the teachers would mark up your tests with all the red ink? Or are you the kind of person that feels stifled by numbers? Are you really creative? And every time you had to go to math class, it felt like one less hour you could spend in art expressing your true self. There is introspection that needs to happen. And then once you realize, okay, or once you kind of get down to that this is the kind of person you are, then you can choose between those three things. Do I need to pick a very manageable number that's not only easy for me to understand, but easy for me to measure? And then I can just work on making that really good. Or do I need to pick just a few metrics that are very neutral and aren't whatever is stressing you out based? Or is it this, you know, interesting third option? My favorite question to ask my clients, especially those that book a VIP day with me in the intake form. It's literally one of the first questions in my intake form. If your business was sitting in the empty chair across from you and you could ask it anything that would help you support it and do better and make more money in your business, what would you ask it? What information would you want to know from it? And it trips people up in a good way because so many people think that I'm going to ask them about conversion rate. And what are your page views? And all of these very standard metrics that people think that they need. But I'm asking you to look at your business as a true entity separate from yourself. So we've already got depersonalization, right? Which helps.
Yeah, and then I'm asking you have to separate.
Right, exactly. And then I'm asking you to think of it as its own entity. So we've got realism. And then I'm asking you to ask it to tell you a story. So we've got some narrative therapy in there. So we're combining these techniques that help you differentiate yourself from your business, depersonalize, de-emotionalize what you're looking at when it comes to your data. 9 times out of 10, the answer is, what do I need to focus on? That's what people want to ask their business. What do I need to focus on? And what that tells me is that they don't know how they're getting business. Okay, that's actually a really easy one to work with.
Yeah, you're like, we can get numbers on that one.
we can do that one. We got you. And so a lot of times it comes down to, okay, great, let's start tracking source. Let's start tracking lead source. And most people are tracking lead source. They just don't realize how they can use it to inform questions. So now we've gotten down to the micro action. We've gotten down to the micro action of simply asking yourself what you want to know from your business. Great. Tiny baby step, right? That's not, it's not scary. It might be scary, right? But there's no heaviness to that question. It's a thought experiment. It's a let's play and see what's up. Now we've gotten to the micro action of the metric. Okay, great. Lead source. Boom. Now we're going to get to the micro action of the quality improvement. And both you and I have talked a lot with each other about this continuous quality improvement background, right? And that's what I did in corporate, was continuous quality improvement. It's changing one little thing at a time to see what impact it has with no emotional attachment to the outcome. Because then once you've made that change and you study it for a little while, you get to decide, do I adopt it? I keep that change around. Do I abandon it? Meaning I get rid of the change entirely, or do I adapt it? Meaning I change it a little bit. And so when you realize, okay, lead source is my go-to metric, that's how I'm going to start my metrics enlightenment journey, then you can say, how do I want to act based on that information? So I had a client, we realized that her primary lead source for people on her email list was a big summit that she would do twice a year. Beautiful, fantastic. That's how almost everybody got onto her email list. Except that the people that upgraded to the VIP version were the ones that were least likely to convert into her primary program.
Yeah.
Interesting. So they opened their wallet for you, but we don't see them as their as your primary lead source into your premier program. So we changed that. That's the metric she chose to change. She chose to address that part of the data and offer something special to those upgraders. And she flipped it. She changed that metric so that most of the people that were in her premier program the next round were from that upgrade.
And by highlighting and by focusing on that, because we want to make sure that we're like connecting the dots for the people that are listening, right? Because they're like, mm-hmm. well, what does that mean to change the metric? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, once we can actually like shine a spotlight on it, then we can look at its origin story.
Exactly.
You know, we can see how did it get to where it is, and then we can take over the narrative to see where it's going. Instead of it just letting it evolve out how it has, then now we get to put ourselves in there and start to redrive it. So if this is where it was starting, and then this is how it was always going, but now we actually want to change the ending. So what sort of information do we need? What sort of actions do we need to interject in order to update this outcome, right? And so in her case, then she probably looked at, well, this is where they're at. This is where I want them to go. They need some other steps in order to make that gap, that bridge, whatever sort of word you want to use, more of a obvious like dot connection, right? Mm-hmm. And then once she started putting those into place, then it actually did change that story. It changed that overall outcome. And that's what for those listening, like that's what Kelsey means whenever she says like that's the metric that we are focusing on. Yeah.
Exactly. And it didn't mean that she ignored the rest of her launch, right? She did everything else mm-hmm. the same in her launch, but that was the key. She did almost everything else in her launch the same. But because there's this old leadership adage, you can't manage what you can't measure. Right? Or what isn't measured, isn't managed. There's a lot of different versions, but we're talking like, got to be from the 1960s, this phrase, right? Because when you put focus and energy on a metric, that metric is likely to change even if you take no intentional action, as long as you're actually focusing on it. Because the energy you're putting into that metric naturally convinces your brain. This is just basic psychology and neuroscience, right? It actually convinces your brain that that is important. And so all of your tasks related to that take subconscious prioritization in your brain. So simply choosing a single metric to change. So in this case, it was increasing the conversion rate of her upgraders for her summit naturally puts focus on it. She earned, I think it was something like $7,000 or $8,000 additional revenue that launch from that specific population, ignorant of all other revenue in the launch, simply by offering a coupon code to that specific population. That's the change she made. She didn't send extra emails. She didn't talk to them differently. She literally sent a single email with a single coupon specific for that segment of her list. And she got an additional 5 people added to her program that would not have otherwise converted. It can be literally that simple. Most people think that your improvement plan for a metric is going to be a laundry list of 20 things.
No. Right. I was like, it's going to be another 20-step program, and here we go.
No. Yeah. She spent 10 minutes writing an email and created a coupon code in ThriveCard. Like, woo.
Yeah.
Not a heavy lift. Yeah.
Right. It gets to be that simple, and it goes back to like, okay, well, who is it that I'm looking at? What is it that I'm doing? What is it that I'm after? Right. And because we are disconnecting from that outcome, we've depersonalized it. It's not about you. It's about what gets them excited and gets them wanting to say yes to things, right? Then we get that experimentation at play.
Exactly.
And so with that one, it was 5 people. Okay, well, that was fantastic. But what if she would have tried something else? Maybe it would have been 10. Maybe it would have been 15. Well, let's see. You know, what if we stacked things? Let's see, right? And it brings about almost that joy of entrepreneurship again.
You get to play. I love that you used the word play, because so much of, like, I'm the silly little nerd. I'm that quirky kid that my avatar in my corporate job was literally Stitch from Lilo and Stitch in a Sherlock Holmes outfit. Nice. That was my avatar. Because I just want to go dig around in things and mess things up. Like, that's my joy. And so when I get to go dig in people's metrics, I'm finding that fun little thing that we can just play with. In this case, it was, ooh, what if we tried to increase the conversion rate for this population? She introduced a single coupon. Okay, great. Like you said, next launch, perfect opportunity to say, great, we've got the data that this population did not convert well. When introduced to a coupon, it converted at this new rate. Perfect. Let's keep doing the coupon, but we're going to add one more thing. Do we increase that conversion rate again? Do we stagnate, or do we decrease the conversion rate?
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. That's all there is to it. And it's the importance, and you and I have talked at length about this, where entrepreneurs tend to go wrong the most. And I don't want to comment from a negative perspective, but I think it's important enough that I am going to say it in that way. Where we all go wrong is trying to change too many things at once and creating an immeasurable result.
Definitely. I mean, you have to control the variables.
When a client calls me in to say, like, what happened in this launch, and I want to do a launch debrief, and I want to compare it launch over launch, but they've changed the live event, plus how many emails they sent, plus the way they tagged, plus the social media that they ended up doing, and they brought in different, like, I can't tell you.
It could be anything.
It could literally be anything. I can get you to a proxy of an idea that kind of might help, but I can't provide you the confidence that you're trying to get from your data if you changed all of these different things.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason for the scientific approach, right? It's like you have a control and then you have your variable that you manipulate. And it's like, and we pick this one thing at a time. So that way we do have that very, like, specific and dedicated data in order to go with. And I think that that's the thing. Like, there's this bit of the shininess. There's a bit of the ego. And there's a bit of the impatience time part that all kind of comes with it, right? Because if people are being fed and are listening to this narrative of only launching once a year, only launching twice a year, only doing this, only doing that, and then you must have this and you have to have that. And what do you mean you haven't hit this amount each month? What do you mean you haven't done this yet? What, you've been around 3 months and you aren't at 6 figures yet? What? You know, all that kind of bullshit. Then it's like, well, no wonder they're like, well, then I guess I have to do it all right now. Oh my God. It's like, well, hang on. We're going for sustainable businesses. We're not flash in the pans. We're not here to rip a bunch of people off and disappear. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here to actually build something that's going to be amazing and that's going to transform your life and other people's lives. So let's get these foundations right. Let's get all of this stuff done. And that's a long game. Right? It's like we're using compounding to our benefit. So we're making these little subtle changes on a regular basis that when they start to build, when they start to, like, really grow, then it's like, oh my God, whoa, what do you mean? I just had 24 times what I did last month. Where did that come from? Right?
And you can connect it to exactly what you did.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're having exponential growth that might feel a bit more delayed than someone's Instagram post, which is also, you know, anyway, I won't say what my opinion there, but it's sustainable. It's true. And you know, like, it might feel like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? But we can't actually say how we got here.
Exactly.
Right. You know, like, because you were doing it in that controlled way. And so I'm curious, with all the people that you've worked with, and all the things that you've gone into, are you seeing patterns? Like, are you seeing categories of things? Are you seeing, you know, the top metrics, not matrix. Maybe it feels like we're in a matrix, but, you know, like, the top metrics, like, you know, are there certain things that it's like, even if someone is a shoestring in a prayer, these are the things that they're going with.
Yeah. So I tend to like to divide the metrics that you look at into five categories. The reason I do that is because even multi-six-figure entrepreneurs, they tend to measure in these categories already. And then it's, okay, but is the metric you've chosen the best one? Because there's a whole heck of a lot of things that you can measure. The five areas are essentially your customer journey. It's your lead generation, your nurture behavior, your sales, your delivery, and your money, your revenue. Within each of those categories are many metrics that potentially work for your business. I am primarily a service-based business. I do VIP days. It's one of my very few offerings. I've got some trainings as well. So I've got very low ticket and then my high ticket service. My lead generation metrics are going to be incredibly different from someone who is a course creator, from someone who sells on Etsy. I just developed my SaaS company. It's in launch mode right now. The metrics I track for my SaaS are completely different than the metrics I track for my service-based business, but they still fall into these same categories. Mm-hmm. How are people finding me, lead gen? How am I keeping them around, nurture? How am I getting them to open their wallet, sales? How am I making sure they stick around with me after they've opened their wallet, delivery? And what is that translating to in my bank account, whether that's revenue, profit, etc.? What your job is as an entrepreneur is picking what the best metric is in each of those categories. So when you ask about the trends that I'm seeing, the trend I'm seeing is that people tend to measure in only one lane. Mm. They'll only measure in the sales lane.
So they might have a whole bunch of data they're looking at, thinking that they're doing a good job or they're tracking a bunch of things. And you're like, well, hang on, you're actually missing a whole bunch of these categories.
Exactly.
Right? Like they're missing a whole bunch of their leading indicators because they're only looking at their lagging indicators or different places like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And in all honesty, especially the ones that never really had a data practice to begin with, despite their success, they're all tracking sales metrics, conversion rate, page views to actual opt-ins, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They are so focused on the sales. And it makes sense that they've been able to be very successful only tracking those metrics. If you are kind of chugging along in business and you optimize your sales practice, then yeah, you're going to make money and you're going to probably be okay. But you're never going to optimize your customer journey. You're always going to be chasing the sale. And I say that very dramatically with always and never and all of those things. but it really, I mean, in truth, because people are like, well, I mean, I literally spoke with a client who makes, you know, over $500,000 a year and hates opening up any of her metrics dashboard. And it's because she doesn't really know what to do with it.
Yeah.
She kind of goes by her gut. She's a good business person. She's got that intuition, right? That kind of makes that good entrepreneur, most entrepreneurs have it, that says this is a good idea or this isn't. But she wasn't being data driven. So her decisions weren't based in real information. They were based in anecdotes because she was just measuring her sales pipeline. And so if she wanted to increase her conversion, she'd go fiddle with the copy a bit and it would increase her conversion. Great. Fantastic. She made a little bit more money. Instead of saying, you know, my obsession is looking at customer behavior. Like it's the psychologist in me, right? So instead of saying, here's the three things that all the people that bought did before they bought, let's go get more people to do those three things. That's sometimes a lot less effort than fiddling with the copy to get a 0.25% increase in conversion rate. Mm. Now, she had volume, right? So that was helpful. And that did translate to money, but not all of us are like that. I can't go tweak a sales page and make an extra, you know, 20 grand. Like, it ain't gonna happen.
Especially the VIP. You're like, my calendar just doesn't allow that. Like, what are you talking about?
Wish I could, but. Right. So I need to go, you know, focus on building referral sources and relationship marketing and all of those things because that's where my leads come from. I recognize that I rambled a good bit, but I'm hoping we're still connecting those dots back to if in each of these categories, it is essential to choose at least one metric to measure at each of these points along the customer journey.
And there's two through lines that I was seeing for that, because like where you were talking about the example of the person with sales, it's the same thing for someone who has like a large social media following. And they're like, you know, I have all these followers and I get all this engagement, but where's the money? But where's the money, right? And it's because all the metrics that they're looking at is still in that one category.
Exactly.
And so they're missing all of the big signs that are saying, hey, here's this gap, here's this problem, in order to take the actions they need to in that area.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then in the other part that I was hearing where you were talking about, you know, this person's like, she's aligned, so she doesn't want to look at the numbers. Well, let's also talk about how like we can marry that behavior, because in order to look at your spreadsheets, you don't have to abandon whatever your natural state is. You know, this isn't a case of, you know, completely transforming who you are, or, you know, abandoning beliefs or doing anything else, you know, like you want to. Instead, it's a case of if you still feel those kind of like, you know, gut reactions and you really want to follow these things, great. But you can still use the data to inform it. You know, if you're going, oh, I really feel like I want to do this. And then you can still use the data to help you tweak certain things. Or it's like, I'm really feeling like I should go this way. Then is it like this way or that way? Or it's a case of, I really think my people want this right now. Or I'm going to go all in on this. Now my support team knows what to do because they're looking at the data while I'm out here leading. Right? Like there's lots of ways that these things can go in place, even if you still want to stay like an intuitive led business or gut led or whatever wording that you want to use to say that like you're more body first, data second, mm-hmm. they can still play together. Just like if you are a data first person, then it's like you can still sit here and go, am I picking this? Am I picking that? And not get stuck in like decision fatigue either. Right. So what have you seen with those kinds of people where like someone has kind of married what seemed like very different states and they're like, oh, my gosh, this is actually the best thing ever.
Yeah. So I'll actually give you an example. I work with Sherry Moy. She's an astrologer.
Yes.
So yeah, astrologer. Really, really beautiful work with aligning launch strategies to astrology. And it's like what she and I talk about. It's all data. Astrology is data. The numbers are data. Your body's reactions are all data.
Yeah, they're signals.
They're signals, exactly. And it's what is all of this data telling you is the next, right? I love quoting Anna from Frozen 2. Take a step, step again, and do the next right thing. What is the next right thing? And so you can combine all of these different data points. So, you know, Sherry and I, that's what we talk about a lot. She marries these two pieces really beautifully, is the data of the launch and the success and things like that. That's kind of the piece I do because I'm very data first, but I love to dream about the woo. Mm-hmm. And she's the opposite. She leads with her astrology and she says, and the data shows us that we can tweak it this way. So a lot of times, you know, we've worked on a couple different launches together that really show when you marry the two, when you marry intuition as well, when you marry any of these different data points, you can get to a place where there's whatever you're leading with, you're giving it confidence through the other aspects of data. So if you are data led like me, and say, okay, I need to be doing personal reach outs and building my referral network. And I speak to a human design expert like Brenna Owen, who tells me you need to be leading from your, you know, hope and satisfaction aspect, and you need to be seen and you need to be going talking to people. That extra human design aspect is simply telling me what I already knew, but with greater specificity and confidence. Mm-hmm. That changed the way that I did reach outs. Now, I didn't know that I even believed in human design. Like, that's just, but like, I'm like, oh, yes, all the things, tell me more. Because my data mind, my data first brain, already felt some confidence. And then someone layered more data on top of it that helped me support what I thought I already knew with different data. There's disadvantages to that, right? We don't want to be in an echo chamber. We don't want to have, you know, positive correlation bias, all these fancy psychology terms about, you know, confirming things as we think they are and ignoring alternatives. But at the same time, there is an advantage to layering these different aspects on top of what you already know. And I think for our, I think you and I both have a pretty large audience of heart-led businesses, if we could phrase them that way. People who want to be aligned, want to feel good about the business they're building, you know, that sort of anti-bro marketing, anti-schlees kind of stuff, can be really hard for them to get cold about their data.
Yeah, it's that fear of, but I don't want to lean too far this way and lose myself, right? I don't want to be over here and I don't want to get so dedicated on conversion that I'm disconnecting from the people. I don't want to think about sales as numbers. Right. I want to know that it was Marissa and it was Trisha and it was, I don't know, I guess any other names, you know, like I want to remember all this part. And that's where it's also remembering, well, there's more than just one category, right? That there's multiple areas to look at. And it's also going, well, this is just a supporting role to wherever I'm already leading, exactly. Right? And it's keeping those pieces together. And to the negative, you know, parts that we can fall into, like the echo chambers and almost like looking for something just because we want it to be true, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like to rephrase it that way. Well, that's where any support comes in. So whether it's a business bestie, whether it's working with you, you know, whether it's talking to a business coach like me or whoever else that you want to work with, it's like that's where it's bringing it to someone else and say, hey, can you put your eyes on this? Right. This is what I think it's telling me, or I really wish it was telling me, you know, what's kind of going on here, yeah. Right? Or it's like, I'm ready to open this. I've downloaded my data. Will you just be here while I open the virtual envelope, you know, or will you open this for me before I, you know, like peek? And for those listening, it's like, I'm squinting and, you know, like I'm pretending to be doing it right now. Because it can have all those waves of emotion. It brings up vulnerability and humanity and am I good enough? And, you know, is this going to be made fun of? What does this look like? All of those kinds of feelings, because it's validation,
yeah,
right? It's a business. Like if you were going for a business loan, they want to see your numbers.
Right.
You know, even when you do taxes, right? It's like how much you owe or how much you get back or how much you do this or how much you do that, you know? And looking at that, it's like, oh gosh, you know, it brings up all of those pieces of, am I a legit business? Where am I at? What was I able to do this year? You know, from giving back to paying your bills, right? And paying yourself and everything in between.
And those pieces of alignment worry never go away. I mean, you and I had this conversation just a couple weeks ago with me personally. I was questioning something that I did because I was worried that it didn't present my values. Mm-hmm. And sometimes looking at the data can feel like you're going against your values, but here is what I will share. I hate when I'm on an airplane and they tell me to put my mask on before my daughter, right? Like in the like safety. Sorry, she's my daughter. What do you mean I have to deprive her of oxygen while I get my mask? Oh, excuse you.
Right. And she's little.
It's you're like, a don't baby. Do it. You're a baby. She needs her oxygen, right? But I understand what they're telling me to do.
Yeah.
If I am losing my oxygen, I cannot put the mask on her.
Right. Yeah. If you pass out while trying to get that thing strapped to her face.
Ain't none of us going to.
Right. And she can't put it on you. So exactly. If you get it on her and then pass out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Metrics to me are the same thing. You have to. So you aren't ignoring the humans that are making your business successful by purchasing from you, by looking at your metrics to determine how you can get more humans in your business. Because if you dissolve as a business, those humans no longer have you.
Yeah.
And all of the future humans or animals, if you're in that business, all of the future entities will no longer have you. And you could have done so much impact. We all know the 95% statistics, right, about businesses closing up. Your business is here for a purpose. You wouldn't have started it otherwise. Whether it's to fund the lifestyle you want with your family or impact, right? It can be either, neither selfish or purely altruistic.
Yeah.
The point is, you can't serve, you can't impact if your business is being unsuccessful. And the best way to make it successful is to start looking at these things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It really like goes to all of the things that you ever wanted, you know, and the statistic that Kelsey's referring to is that how that most businesses end up folding. And the truth behind it, it's not because they lack interest or even that they lack potential customers. It's because they lose cash flow. Because most of them run on debt, and especially in our industry, that tends to be personal debt, like credit cards and things that we have to go through because we don't get business loans, mm-hmm. you know, because we don't have real estate and all the things and equipment that we can use and collateral. So you just can no longer pay those minimums. You can no longer do those things. You know, if a partner is helping you, you just run out of the ability to do that when, you know, you have to do groceries and right. you have to do like other things within your life, right? So it's really about cash flow. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this metrics comes down to. Even though there's like four other categories other than revenue, it all still leads to that. You know, if you think about it like a fountain, it's like all the water has to come in up through the pipe in order to come out and overflow into the bottom basin.
Exactly.
Right. And then you can like get it from there. Yeah.
And that's why I always, whenever we get to the revenue category, when I'm talking with clients, so many people, well, because I don't really call it revenue, right? That category, I always refer to it as revenue, but I never really mean revenue because everybody wants to say, oh, I made X amount.
Ah, yeah.
Did you really make it? Is that cash in? Did right. you take cash out? Is that gross? Is that net? No one wants to talk about the difference mm-hmm. between revenue, income, mm-hmm. actual profit, and take home.
Yeah.
Because another thing that happens in our industry, as you're well aware, is that profit and income
are
also very different.
They are, just like revenue and income is not, you know, and on this show, because I do a lot of jargon busting for people, I very much differentiate between mm-hmm. revenue being the sales number and income being what you give yourself.
Exactly.
Right. So whenever people are like, I want more income in my business, it's like, great, then pay yourself more because that's how income comes.
I know.
Like, it's not the same thing.
Spend less, take the rest home.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I'm not trying to be pedantic with that. I'm just trying to like help people understand that like what problem are we actually trying to solve?
Correct.
Right. And it's the same thing if you're looking at like your gross margins and your profit margins. And you know, and again, like you don't have to be overwhelmed by it. You don't have to sit there with like a finance dictionary or, you know, it's like, again, you don't have to have the degrees. That's why we did it for you. You know, so just ask us, listen to us. Investopedia is also a great like online source. But it's a way of just having that, you know, financial education, right? Because financial literacy is very much a big difference in the financial gap that we see with online businesses, whenever we see following gender gaps and non-binary gaps, whenever we see with underrepresented people, you know, it's very much like what kind of access to information and understanding of the information is there, okay. right? Because just because words get thrown around, do you understand them and do you know what to do with them? And doing small things with your metrics, that goes a long, long way. Again, that's that compounding effect towards your financial literacy and mm-hmm. towards just business literacy as a whole. Exactly. You know, and that's why I was like, Kelsey, will you come on and talk about this? Because there's no shame around these dashboards. Mm-hmm. There's no worries if you're like, I'm at a 0.3% and I thought I was at 45%.
Okay, now you know.
And you're like, yeah. Well, and also, hey, if you're talking about debt, congratulate yourself, you know, but if you're talking about revenue, all right. Yeah. You know, we got to work on some things, But it's those kinds of pieces where, like, as you get more comfortable with it, then the understanding falls into place and you naturally get better.
Yes.
Right. That's the part that I talk about called that's the biohacking. That's also what Kelsey was talking about with like the subconscious part, because it's like, oh, this is something I need to work on. I don't need to be defensive about this. This is a good thing. Okay, great. Let's line up all these other things in our favor. And here we go. And you start to hear the right things. You start to see the right things. You start to talk to the right people and have the right conversations. And it feels like almost like magic,
Yeah. But
it's because you're just naturally falling in line with the stuff that you need because you're no longer defensive about it, right? And that's your subconscious coming along being like, oh, cool, you want to know about these things? We're open. Let's go, right?
If you've ever told yourself the phrase, the stars aligned, that's exactly what we're talking about. If you ever look back on something and said, oh, the stars just aligned, you started putting a focus and importance on that thing. Now, based on your beliefs, that might also factor in. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't want to devalidate that piece, that there is, you know, universal energy pushing that. But from a scientific, psychological perspective, we have studies that show when you put conscious focus on something, your subconscious supports that focus.
Yep. Yeah. And anything that it supports versus feeling like it has to protect you against, then you get more and more and more of it, exactly. Including sales.
Yes.
Right. So if it's like, oh, I know what I'm going to do with this money. Oh, I know how it's going to work for me. Oh, I know I can support. So like for when Kelsey's talking about these categories, it's like, oh, I know how this delivery is going to work. Oh, I know how this sales is going to work. Oh, I know how this lead gen is going to work, right? Whenever like, and I think I skipped two of them, but you know, like then it's like, oh, I don't have to be scared of any of this part. So let's open the floodgates.
Yeah.
It's like, let's let it all in.
Exactly.
And that's whenever people are like, I just feel like my business blew up.
Yes. It did. And good for you. And it's
right.
And it can, business is never easy, but it can be so much more fluid than many of us, myself included, make it out to be. If we put our energy in the right places.
Yeah. Yeah. And metrics can seem like, how is this the right place? But it is, because it's paying attention to those signals that have been shouting for support.
And right.
Just like,
curious.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just like whenever, like if your back is starting to, you know, hurt in somewhere and you're like, oh, I guess I should have gotten that other chair, or, oh, I guess I shouldn't sit like this anymore. Your numbers do that same kind of thing. It gives you that, I guess, numerical feedback instead of biofeedback.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's just saying, hey, I want to pay attention. And you can pay attention before you're ever having a problem paying bills or, you know, doing something dramatic like, you know, like a bankruptcy kind of thing. And instead, it's not a failed launch. Instead, it's like, oh, I don't have to limp along anymore.
Right.
Right. Or I don't have to have a 25% dip versus the last time. Or I only rose 3%.
Yeah.
Instead, we can rise 30% and so on and so forth.
And yeah. When you start to focus on it in that way, you can also start changing the way that you phrase things. So let's take that, I only went up 3%. Well, yes, the goal is to go up 30%. We can, if we stay in a place of curiosity, I'm that quirky, right? So I like playing with words. So I encourage myself to, how can I make this more curious instead of judgmental? Mm-hmm. So I only went up 3%. Well, how can I make that more curious? I wonder why I was 3% instead of 5%. There's just something different in your brain. When you start to explore differences, it's like when you were a kid and it was the two pictures and it's what's different between these two pictures. You start to see stuff that you didn't see when you were stuck in a single place, especially if you're stuck in a negative place. I only had 3% conversion. I wonder what I could have done differently to get to 5%. Or I wonder like, what, why wasn't I at 5%? What went different this time? Things like that. Get curious, but non-judgmental. That's really when your brain starts to kick in and say, oh, we get to We get to get curious about this. We get to have fun with this. We don't have to protect ourselves from telling ourselves that we did bad. We can just be curious. Your brain's going to hop on board real fast.
See, and that's fun, right? Like the Highlights magazine. It never said which picture is better. Exactly. It just said spot the differences. Mm-hmm. So now we get to play with spot the differences. And this made me think of something else that you were telling me about. Know your numbers, right? That's what you call your workshop. Yeah. Does this help people like feel that kind of powerful? Does it talk about that? Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So my Know Your Numbers training, it's actually a special training I did for some one-on-one clients. And it's a two-hour training that I've chopped up into bite-sized pieces because this stuff can be really heavy and really scary. And it walks through the five areas that we've talked about today, but gives really in-depth examples as to the different metrics. Because what we didn't have time to talk about today is how do you actually decide which metric to measure in each of those five categories. And so what Know Your Numbers does is it really helps you figure out based on your business model and the kind of person and human you are, what's the right metric to measure within each of these categories? And then how do you create a system of checking these metrics that doesn't overwhelm you, but keeps you informed enough that you can still make strategic decisions?
I like that. And with our theme of like not overwhelming ourselves, I assume that even though it breaks down into 2 hours, you can kind of like walk away, kind of self-soothe a bit, and then come back again when you need to.
Exactly. And yeah. That's the thing. Like, even for myself, I got maybe a 5 to 10 minute attention span. Like, you've got me for maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And then, like, I need to go grab a cookie. Like, it's just... And so I don't think any of the lessons are longer than 10 minutes. And I built it in such a way because so many of my clients came to me from this place of, well, but I do measure stuff. I just don't know what to do with it. So each lesson, even within those 10 minutes, connects you right back into, okay, but then what? Because I cannot stand leaving people with, yeah, but now what? That question bothers me because it means I didn't do my job.
Well, and that's where the magic is, right? Because like I teach people how to sell with the how, but the magic comes from and then what. Exactly. And so in this workshop, you're actually giving people the and then what with all of these, you know, spreadsheets and numbers and nonsense that we've been talking about here. Because, you know, like click-through rates is something that we talked about a lot with email and some of the other people that we've had on, because it's one that we look through that we can trust, quote unquote, a lot more than like open rates these days, right?
Exactly.
But if that's not the right metric for you, then you can also kind of give yourself a break on some of these things. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to know that instead of being like, oh, this metric was this, or even not even needing to like reframe it to a curiosity of how do I go from a 3 to a 5% click through? Well, maybe that one's not even one that you need to pay attention to anymore. We don't know yet. Exactly. Right. So it's like, which ones are best for your business? Which ones are best for you? Which ones are best for your audience? Because we always lead with our audience and the money follows in this community. So it's like, what works for that? And this is a nice little way to do that. And normally, you know, I don't really like highlight something like this, but I wanted to hear because this is a topic that so many people kind of want to ostrich about, right? They want to just kind of like, I know it's important and I'll know a few of my numbers in order to like have the conversations with my peers, but that's kind of it. And it's like, well, instead of worrying about any of them, let's only look at the stuff that matters for you, right? Yeah.
My VIP days are actually called the Metrics That Matter VIP Day because many people don't measure things that actually matter.
Yeah. You know, and it's those kind of things. But at the same time, it's like, if you don't know what else to do, then why not do what everybody else is doing?
Exactly.
Right? It's that kind of, I don't know where I'm going, so I'm following the leader, you know, and it's okay if that's where you started, but let's go ahead and make something that is hyper customized to you. So that way we can actually like make this business like really, really go really, really, you know, like come out.
Exactly.
So is there something that like you really want to leave people with when they're like, you know, I do this and I'm not so scared of it because I know it's important. And this is how I was able to go from, you know, this amount to this amount, but I kind of don't know what to do at this point. Yeah. What is that advice?
So if you have been measuring, but don't actually know what action to take, you need to audit your metrics. The takeaway is for each metric that you're currently measuring, ask yourself, can I actually impact this metric? Can I change it? And if I change it, will it make me more money? Now, that second one's a little bit of a trick question because sometimes it's, well, it'll make my customers happy. Guess what? That'll still make you more money because your customers will be happy. So the question, like, just know that. But out of all the things I want people to take away from our conversation today, it's make sure that you are, in fact, measuring what matters, that you are looking at each metric and making sure that you can impact it and that it will lead to more revenue. Because if you can't change it, don't bother measuring it. You're causing more stress than you need to.
Mm, I like that. And it, and you had a different variation of it for data, but it reminds me of like, do I change it? Do I like leave it or do I accept it? Right. And then you had a data variation of it.
Adopt, abandon, or adapt.
Yeah. I like that version for the money and the business side of things, but yes. Well, thank you very much for hanging out with us. Yes. And it was here. You had something special for us today that I wanted to make sure that we mentioned.
Yeah. So first of all, because I agree, I think the Know Your Numbers training is really beneficial to people who either are measuring a lot of stuff and don't know how, like what then, or if you're really new to measuring, I want to make sure that it really becomes a no brainer for y'all. So if you use the word Tracy as your coupon code for my Know Your Numbers training, which I know Tracy will put in the show notes, you'll get $50 off. So it's normally a $97 training. It's, on Evergreen, it comes down to $47. So it's a really great opportunity to dig into that. But also, if you just want to hang out with me some more and show up on my list, I asked 15 experts in our industry, 6- and 7-figure business owners, if I stranded you on a desert island and you could only measure one thing about your business to keep it running, what would you measure and why? So I've got Meg Yelaney, Jordan Gill, Ellen Yen, all sorts of really fun people who said what they would measure if they could only look at one thing in their business. And I find that really important for people who are kind of overwhelmed or lost in starting their metrics journey. Or if you've measured everything under the sun, but it hasn't really gotten you anywhere. Because you can see if everything else had to go away and you could only measure one thing, what would be that focus? So that is at kelseysilver.com/15metrics, M-E-T-R-I-C-S, and that's the number 15. And that one is also really fantastic because it gives you some insight into these really successful businesses, but if they could only measure one thing, what would it be? Because sometimes all we have the capacity for is one thing.
Yes, I love that. And thank you very much for that coupon code. And a reminder, everybody, it is T-R-A-C-I-E. It's a very traditional spelling, but it trips people up. Yes, and hopefully we will see you again on here and we can talk about, geek out on all kinds of things.
Yeah, we'll just be
thank you very much. I know, right? Yeah. Thank you very much for hanging out and for helping people, you know, understand our numbers. Yeah. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. Thanks so much. Yeah.
Thank you for joining me here on Digital Business Your Way. Be sure to check out the show notes for all the links mentioned today. And while you're there, I'd love for you to rate and review the show. And if you have a topic or question you want me to answer, I want to hear it. Head to tracypatterson.com/AMA and ask me anything about business. If I don't know it, I'll bring it up with one of my guests. And until next week, be well and have some fun.